Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you. Well, it's good to see a lot of people here. I thought Pastor Rick being out of town that it was going to be an empty house, but amen, right? Thanks be to God. Today my sermon title is Don't Worry, Be Happy. And the reasoning for that, well, of course, don't worry is said quite a few times in this text, but me and my baby girl, Adi, my granddaughter, we have one of those singing fish hanging up in the garage, and it sings that song, so every time she comes in the garage, she pushes a button, and without doubt, every time she starts dancing around, it just makes her so happy, you know? So that's the same thing that the Lord does for us when we live a life in Him. Amen? Don't worry, be happy. So, first verse tells us, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? The first part of the text says, do not worry about your life. We should not be getting stressed out or worrying about the things of this world, because our life is much more than the things of this world. Amen? We should be more worried about our spiritual life than pleasing the Father. For these are the things that will not fade away. Amen? I know in my life of giving primarily, I rarely worry about my finances today. We're called to be good stewards of God's gifts, and that includes money. Everything's from God and by God, amen? It seems that the more I give to the church and the more I give to good causes, the more the Lord blesses my finances. And it's amazing. I know you've probably heard stories before about financial blessings just coming from anywhere, everywhere, like Bruce talked about last week, or the escrow payment, right, wasn't it? Yeah, me and my wife got the same thing when we got married. We were short money for our wedding, and we just happened to get an escrow check in the mail for the exact amount we needed. You know, it's like, wow. You know, so, so yeah, stuff like that happens all the time. You know, if we just trust in the Lord, He will provide for us. I know you probably heard stories like that before, but. The owner of Hobby Lobby, matter of fact, my wife told me one day, today he tithes about 50% or 50% of the proceeds from the company. And, he started out doing like 20%, but it seemed the more that he tithed, the more successful the company became. And today, being, how big Hobby Lobby is, he still tithes 50% of all the proceeds of the company. So it's pretty amazing. And, if you've never been there, if you want to buy something that's got anything to do with Jesus or, you know, any kind of Christian type memorabilia or plaques, pictures, whatever, they have everything there. It's awesome. You got to check it out. and they're closed on Sundays, yeah. So don't go there and don't go to Chick-fil-A, that's right. Hey, by the way, Chick-fil-A is now the third most not popular, but money-making fast food place in the country. Yeah, right behind McDonald's and Starbucks. But yeah, and they're not even open. And they got one in the Atlanta Falcons Stadium too. Just so you know. By the way, they don't serve food at the games because they're closed on Sundays, but they are in the stadium. The next part of the text says, what will you eat or what will you drink? What will you eat or what will you drink? What will you put on? These three things occupy the whole attention of those who are living without God in the world. And, so sometimes food or alcohol can occupy our whole attention and essentially become our worship. So, you know, I know when I used to drink, it occupied my whole attention. You know, I mean, it was something that was holding me back, especially in my spiritual life. And And thanks be to God, I overcame it, and I worship someone else now. Amen. Sometimes what we're wearing or how we look compared to others can be a sense of self-worship also, or idolizing ourselves rather than idolizing the Father. So we just need to stay focused on the keep our eyes on the prize. Amen. Do not worry. There's a difference between a godly sense of responsibility and an ungodly, untrusting worry. However, an ungodly, untrusting sense of worry usually masquerades as responsibility. So we often think it's our responsibility to worry about the things we have no control over. So, you know, when we should be giving it all to God. Amen? Sometimes, especially as leaders of our family, we get so caught up in all of our responsibilities that we forget to ask God to go before us. You know, and then if we fail, we wonder why. Some people, anyways, wonder why God allowed us to fail. Well, if we didn't ask God into our situation, then you know, the devil's a liar and pride's a monster. Amen. Sometimes we convince ourselves that we can do it on our own, and our pride begins to separate us from the Father. So, the pride that we can do stuff on our own, we tell ourselves that we don't need God to help us in this situation or in that situation. That just puts us farther and farther away from God. Amen? So pride can be one of our biggest obstacles to grace. Amen? The Lord does not want us some of the time or most of the time. The Lord wants us all the time. He is a jealous God. Amen? So we ought to be concerned with the right things. The ultimate issues of life, like our salvation, saving souls, Pastor Rick says all the time. And then we can leave the management and the worry over the material things of this world. We can leave all that to the Father. Amen? So don't worry. Be happy. The next part of the text says, is not life more than food? So what Jesus is saying here is that man should not be concerned with physical needs as an animal is. But a man's life is more than just physical needs. There's eternal matters to pursue, and eternal matters to take care of. We should be more concerned with our souls than our gratification. Amen? I lived my life for many years trying to satisfy that which can never be satisfied, and that is the flesh. The devil may trick you into thinking that you have achieved freedom, but in reality, you're living in bondage to your sin. You know, you think, I'm going to do things my way, and, you know, I'm cool or I'm happy because I can do what I want to do. But in reality, you know, a lot of times we're just living in bondage to our sin and just believing the lies of the devil. Amen? Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen? We need to stay in the Word, and we need to put on the full armor of God so we can defeat our sin and the devil. Amen? Second part of the text, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they are? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow, neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He much more not clothe you, O you of little faith? So the first part says, look at the birds of the air. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, the birds are provided for by God. And if He takes care of them, then we should expect that He'll certainly take care of us, His children. Amen? We can trust in Him. Now realize and take note that the birds don't worry, but they do work, okay? Birds don't just sit there with their mouths open expecting God to fill them. Meaning that we ourselves have to do some work sometimes. We have to turn from our sin and earn a respectable living so we can provide for our families and give back to the kingdom. Dave Ramsey said just the other day, he said, God provides the worm, but He does not throw it into the nest. But we need to go ahead and get out there and get it. Amen? Amen. Love Dave Ramsey. Next part of the text says, are you not of more value than they? The worry many people have over material things of life is usually rooted in a low understanding of their value before God. They don't comprehend how much He loves and cares for them. So people try and gather up all the riches of the world, and when they should have their eyes on the prize of salvation. I have yet to see a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer behind it. Right? So you can't take it with you, amen? So which of you, next part of the text says, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So, in other words, worrying accomplishes nothing. We can add nothing to our lives by worrying. There may be greater sins than worry, but there are none more self-defeating or useless. Amen? The ancient Greek may mean, says that can add, may mean adding to life instead of adding to height. So, but the thought is the same. Instead of adding to our life, we can actually harm ourselves by worry. Stress is one of the greatest contributors to disease and poor health. So don't worry, be healthy. Okay? Don't worry, be healthy. Because that is a great contributor to heart disease and a lot of diseases, stress. The next part of the text says, if God so clothes the grass of the field, God even takes care of the grass of the field, okay? So He will certainly take care of His children. We can be confident of the power and the care of our Heavenly Father. So you of little faith, once again the Lord is asking us to just have a little faith, even as small as the size of a mustard seed, right? Amen? Matthew 8:26 says, He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then He got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Charles Spurgeon says, little faith is not a little fault, for it greatly wrongs the Lord and sadly grieves the fretful mind. To think the Lord who clothes the lilies will leave His own children naked is shameful. Oh, little faith, learn better men. Amen? So trust in the Lord and He will lift you up. Amen? Love Charles Spurgeon. The third part, next part of the text. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knows you need all these things. So the first part says, therefore, do not worry. Do not worry. We are invited to know a freedom from the worry and anxiety that comes from concern about material things in this life. We can show the same kind of heart that Matthew Henry showed when he said the following after being robbed. You're going to love this. So after being robbed, Matthew Henry was talking to the Lord. He said, Lord, I thank you that I've never been robbed before. That although they took my money, they spared my life. That although they took everything, it wasn't very much. That it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Amen. So have an attitude of gratitude at all times, a different perspective. You will always have the victory doing and living God's will. Pray for those that rob you and persecute you. Pray for your enemies. Amen? For after all these things, the Gentiles speak. That is, those who do not know the true doctrines of religion or have a divine dependence on God make it their main anxiety to seek food and clothing. That's all they're worried about is getting this or getting that, and you know, it's like, but you who have a relationship with the Father in heaven know that He will provide for your need. Amen. Okay, the fourth part of the text, my life verse, by the way, just so everyone knows, 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The first part says, but seek first the kingdom of God. This must be the rule of our life when we're setting our priorities. Because it's wrong to think that it's just another priority to add to our list. This is the priority. Amen? This should be at the top in everything we do, and that we should seek first the kingdom of God. So, for example, we rarely have to choose between honoring God and loving our wives or honoring God and being good workers. But actually, we honor God and seek first the kingdom of God by being good husbands and being good workers. So it kind of works, you know. It's like we put God first by doing what God wants us to do is putting God first. Amen? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Jesus just didn't tell them to stop worrying. He told them to replace worry with a concern for the kingdom of God. So we take the worry out and we replace it with a concern for the kingdom, for our forever family, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? A habit or a passion can only be given up for a greater habit or passion. Okay? So when we're giving up a bad habit, we bring in a greater habit, a good habit. Amen? Worry does absolutely no good. It won't bring us money. It won't bring us food. It won't bring us clothing. Worry only has negative results. It chokes the Word of God and distracts us from God. It is unbelief and it is the opposite of faith. Worry is the opposite of faith. Amen? Next part of the text says, "And all these things shall be added to you." And Jesus specifically limits this promise to those who obey. Instead of a blanket promise, this is a conditional promise. And that applies to disciples who are sold out for Jesus Christ. Amen? He will add everything unto you once you give him your life. Amen? Those committed to building their own temporary financial kingdom will receive no such promise. This is not a license for laziness. One element of seeking first God's kingdom and His righteousness is working for it. Amen? Working. Amen? No lazy Christians, right? Amen. David said in Psalm 37:25, "I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. The Lord will provide." Don't worry. Be hopeful. Amen? Be hopeful. Don't worry. Fifth part of the text. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So breaking that down, don't worry about tomorrow. If you must worry, worry only about the things of today. Most of our worry is over things that we have absolutely no control over anyway. And therefore, foolish as well as harmful to us. The problem with worrying about tomorrow is you never run out of tomorrows. You must learn to live one day at a time. And by sufficient for the day is its own trouble, Jesus reminds us of the importance of living for today. It isn't wrong to remember the past or plan for the future. To some degree, both of those are great ideas. But it's easy to become focused on either the past or the future while letting the day and its own troubles be ignored. Amen? God wants us to remember the past. We are forgiven. He wants us to plan for the future. He will go before us. But He wants us to live in the present. Someone once said, "Worrying doesn't rob tomorrow of its sorrow. It robs today of its strength." Don't let this happen to you. Don't worry. Be hopeful. Thank you, and God's peace be with you.